appreciate that. I'm still getting Natalie's. Are you still getting Stan's? I mean, it's only been 2 years. Maybe they'll update it and the next person would get all my stuff in 4 years.
It's, no. If I get a Shanna Schaefermeyer email or a Kay Briggs email, I don't even look at it. I just delete it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I can't update the records in like 4 years.
Yeah, or 14.
Maybe I'll get that open.
Hey. Wendy, are you ready for us? I should warn you all that I got up at like the equivalent of 2 o'clock this morning, and I just spent 5 minutes looking for my glasses that were hanging from my collar. So if I break into incoherence, that's my excuse. I'd like to welcome everyone to the November 18th work session of the City Council. Our first item of business is a report on an action item related to the city app. Ken?
Thanks. I wasn't sure that I would be the one reporting on the city app. I am one of your team's least technologically savvy people, though I use apps every day. And I think this project is a great one. It won't be done tonight. It's part of your strategic plan as well. So I wanted to make sure it stayed on the agenda as we put our action items together and reporting back to the council. But there are some important things that we can go over here for just a moment on the city app. The first is that we have been looking at companies that could assist us in preparing an app. There may be other ways to get an app done, but what we've done so far is put together some cost estimates. And depending on who we hire, and we'll talk about one specific company in a moment, the prices range from about $7,000 to maybe $20,000 on the high end. And these will be annual costs, maybe a little more upfront, but there will be some ongoing costs to maintain it. There'll be some staffing costs to keep it up to date, depending on the content. The other thing I wanted to show you a little bit, and this is where it's not really an exhaustive presentation, but I took the chance to I've looked at a few apps, and so has John, who's been on this project. These were examples. And these are screenshots off of my cell phone, which is the preferred device for an app, I think, is what we're after, the convenience of a cell phone. This is not from Farmington, Utah. It's Farmington in a different state. But these were, this screenshot on the right is kind of one of the main ones that pops up in the app. And then you can go to the upper right and look at other things that I didn't do a screenshot of. I thought the interesting one was the submit a request, and so they actually had so many that it took 2 screenshots. And so this was an example of a city that appears to me to maybe have gone through their own experience trying to determine what the public cares about or what they maybe routinely see or experience when they're out in the city. And so pretty good options. We don't operate our own animal control service, but I could see us actually having animal control pieces to our app if that's something we wish to do. And we could partner with other agencies if there's other things that we want to do. So that was one. This one is very similar, and I think that Civic Plus did both of these. I am looking for feedback, and I'll kind of try to frame the feedback a little bit. I mean, if you have feedback now, that's great too. But yeah, I'll be asking some questions. This one, I wanted to kind of show examples. This is from Riverton, Utah, by the way, which has a fairly good-looking app. And I downloaded these and started kind of looking around and using them on my phone. I thought the one on the right was interesting, and it's that you can see in the middle, which is kind of the main page, it's down towards the bottom, it says, I want to. And so you open up, and you click on that, then you open up the I want to piece, and you can see I want to apply for a job, apply for utilities, get a dog license, get a trash can. I get the sense in these two examples that they replicate the website, but in a much more efficient and quick and convenient way, which I thought was an interesting part of this project. I had previously been thinking we'll do an app for a singular purpose or maybe four or five things, but it appears to me that if we wanted to make more city services available in a more convenient, quicker way, we may be able to accomplish the half a dozen things that some of you have mentioned, and I'm going to turn some time over to you on this, plus we could do some of these things which might be even more convenient for the public. I even thought in the case of Riverton, they have a register to vote place. You could go click on that, and I'm assuming it would take you to Salt Lake County's site where you can register to vote. But very interesting, and I think these are the kinds of things that we might want to consider. I also think one observation I would make in looking at both of these and then looking at several others is that it's really sort of an attempt to get the public to engage more in their surroundings. So if you look at a lot of these, there's code violations, there's potholes. You can report a pothole, you can report a missing dog or a stray dog, you can report a street light that's out. And I think there's some real utility to that that makes sense to me. And so today, we don't really have a convenient way for the public to let us know that unless they go to the website, which is becoming more and more inconvenient for people to use. So I do think this is the way we ought to go. And so the third part of my presentation today really isn't a presentation, but and I alerted two of you who were interested in this particularly, who have mentioned the City app numerous times. I asked you, what do you think the content of our the purpose of our app would be? And I'll let you two talk as part of this discussion. But so I think there's really two things tonight that would help us to move forward, and that is if you like the direction of the feel of these two apps, I think giving us feedback on that would be really helpful, because I think we can craft an app with maybe with Civic Plus's help, who did these two, to put together something similar for our city. And of course, we'll work with you on that as well. In addition, what are some things that are really important to you as the six members of the governing body in an app? And what would you like to see that we may not have talked about as openly? We've talked about, not to steal your, Councilmember Jackson, your idea, but we've talked about having an app that could inform residents about train delays, which is an important piece of what happens in our city. So, of course, we want to not forget to do that. But there may be other things. And as everybody gets more mobile, I was really surprised and happy to see some of the real utility of these apps. So anyway, I will turn the time over to you. And if you could give us some direction, we can keep going on this project and put some things together for you.
Can I just have a quick question? Sometimes in my work, you know, like someone will call me and say, hey, there's a water leak on the 14th floor. And I hurry and shoot a text to my engineer. And then it's like, what if he's busy and doesn't, you know? So that's my question. Report a problem. Let's say it's Friday night at 8 o'clock and you report a problem. Is someone going to see that Monday morning?
Yeah,
or
that's a great question. And our report of concern is, I would say, successful in many situations. And there have been times when it's been less successful. So I think we should address emergencies versus other things. And I think we could craft something that would instruct the public that if they drive by a street and there's water coming up out of the street, we would, on the app, they would be informed that they should call a number. They can call our on-call number. They can call the non-emergency dispatch. They could even call 911 on that. But I think we would need to put some thought into what sorts of instructions would we leave for the public so that we don't miss an emergency. Because I do think if the public relies too heavily on this and reports an emergency in a form that doesn't really get to us for a while or could not get to us for a while, that's a problem. So that is something to consider.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I think maybe the mayor hid them all. Yeah.
If you want a short meeting, just don't give me a mic. Just my comment, which you already alluded to, Ken, was my intent when I was thinking about it was solely for a railroad, a commute aid. I think anyone who's gotten and gotten stuck behind the trains knows that it would be really, really helpful to have fair warning and choose an alternate route. Thanks, Wendy. So I love that. I don't know. I think you reported a couple months ago that Salt Lake used an AI something that predicted routes because UTA doesn't give out their schedules. But if we could look into something like that, I think we would probably make a lot of people really happy by not being stuck behind the trains on a regular basis. I'm a bad person to weigh in on this other than that because I have this weird aversion to downloading apps on my phone. I already feel like I have a million and that bothers me when I have to scroll 6 times to get to the screen with the app that, anyway. So I probably just wouldn't be a great person to talk about utilization, but I do think along with report a problem, we would want to make sure that it's in someone's job description for community. So there's conversation, if we have a Facebook or a chat community, probably Linda, our HR communications director, someone would need to monitor that so that people feel heard, but that's my only other thought.
So,
thanks, Lisa.
So maybe a follow-up question from me on the idea. Would you suggest that the app should be able to direct the public to, if we create a blog location or a chat location or something, a feature like that that we don't have? Or would you say it's just more of a link to Facebook and social media?
Well, I think that would be a decision to be made. But if we had a community section that was somehow interactive, someone would have to have the job in their job description that they're monitoring that. So
right.
Like the report a problem, it doesn't go unheard.
Yeah.
Or that's not a bad idea, just linking to the North Salt Lake Facebook page or something like
that.
Oh, I had one other question. Have you reached out to any cities to see how utilized this is, like their number of app downloads in their city or how utilized they feel like an app is?
I haven't, and I don't know, John, if you've done anything like that.
I don't have much to report.
I did inquire, and I haven't gotten any response back from them. And it's Syracuse.
Other than looking in like the app marketplaces to see the amount of downloads, that's all I've done. And some of the ones I looked at were like 100 plus or 1,000. So
I think part of the answer, well, no, I haven't done that, but I think that I would like to speak to someone like say in Riverton City and say, and just give me your opinion about the effectiveness of the app. What sorts of feedback have you gotten from the public? It would be great if it were utilized, you know, by the public, that it was an effective tool that people would want to use. Part of me thinks that any improvement, and I know this is a low bar, but any improvement in the way that the city and the residents communicate is good. Now, having said that, I think we should set our sights and set goals that are ambitious and aggressive on it. So,
well, and I also think there should be a bit of a cost-benefit analysis. Mm-hmm. If it's an ongoing $10,000+ expense, then we'd want to make sure that success equals utilization. If we don't want to spend that kind of money for 100 residents to use the app. So that would be my other thought.
Mayor? Okay, shall I jump in? A few quick reactions. One, I really like this idea. And I appreciate Councilmember Van Langeveld and others for suggesting it. It's implied, but I just want to be explicit that I think we should be able to send information to app holders. Maybe they have the ability to turn on and off the receipt of announcements. It could be an event. It could be, hey, it's second Saturday, free garbage. It could be, you know, a newsletter link, not sure, but an ability to send information that may not be sort of service oriented. That's point one. Point two, I don't favor a standalone chat capability. I think it is prone to getting orphaned or like being a dead end. But I do like the idea that perhaps there's a link or some way that it sends people to an already maintained social media space. Those are my two big points.
So I do have one response to your first point. Every app I looked at had a notification, a voluntary way to sign up for notifications. So I think that's an important piece of what we do.
Thank you for bringing this. I'm really excited about this. I think it's a great option, and I hope it gets a lot of use. I anticipate that it will, but I don't know for sure. I texted this to you earlier, but I would like to say in the meeting what were my priorities to have as part of the app, and it really is covered with what you've presented here. But my first thing was just city information, and this is coming from the website, which you can kind of see here, like the kinds of information that residents can get on the city website, they can also get through the app. But that would also include being able to pay their bills, get information about a permit, And that those links within the app, I think, should direct people to the website so that they can just click exactly like, I need to apply for a permit in front of my house, or I need to. Another thing that I think would be helpful in that, either in the I want to or like an FAQ, I know that part of our job and part of the city staff is educating the public about kind of levels of service and locations of service, that if there is an electrical problem, that isn't really the city, but here's who you can talk to about that. So in the FAQs, it can have like, oh, if it's electrical, here's where you need to go. Or if it's animals, then actually here's where that county information is. So it's redirecting residents so they can find those problems, or the solutions to those problems, instead of just, well, it's not us, which I think the website does a great job of. So we can also do that in the app. I also think a calendar, and I can see that there's a calendar link here. And I said specifically with event notifications that pop up on their phone. I love that recommendation from Ted as well. And I can see that on my notifications here. One thing that I like about the city website is that there is an option to opt in to several different types of notifications. But as far as I can tell, those are all email notifications. Is that correct?
They're text.
They're text as well?
They're text and
great.
Email.
Yeah, I love that. So that, you know, mirroring that here, that they can get a notification pop-up, or they can, and they can opt into whichever ones of those they want to. Like if it is a construction project that's outside of their house right now, or it's the legacy changes, that they're going to get those notifications as they're relevant. So bringing that into the app. And then the ability to ask a question. And I also agree with what Ted said about having in-app community dialogue. I would not recommend that either. I think the ask a question would send an email to a city staff who could then answer that question and then redirect if it is, you know, wanting to be heard in a more communal space, maybe redirect to social media locations, but that we're not housing a town hall in the app. I would not recommend doing that. So text alerts, and then the last one was extensive FAQs, similar to what's on the website content. And then let me make sure that I just said everything that I had written down. With regard to the train, if there is not a way that we can identify, I like the idea of kind of the AI modeling to see when trains might be there. Another way we could potentially manage that is through a link like Waze or some other traffic app, so that in our app they can link to, like, do you want to see the current traffic conditions at the railroad to know? Because if it's backed up, well, they won't be able, those traffic apps do not show that it's a rail crossing or a train that's backing it up. They will show backed up space, so we could link to that, or even like a current traffic camera, so that there's always the chance to like look at what the railroad is doing at that moment. Yeah, that covered all of my points. Thank you. Great. I'm excited about this project. Thank you for bringing it up.
Mayor, can I? I like this too, and I think that one thing that would be very helpful is the education. If we, you know how like if you buy something from Apple, you can go to the Apple store and they help you with how to work an app. That would be something that when we have different events and things, we have somebody from the city being there to help people. I think that would be very helpful to have someone there to help with how to run the app, frequently asked questions, or somebody that's really good at how to manage the app.
So that's part of our, when we have a city tent at the Kite Festival, for example, we'd have someone there that could help people with
it. Yeah, I think that that's always helpful to have, to answer questions and things, but that would be something that could be, that could also increase traffic, and people would want to use the app if they had somebody showing what to do.
You could have a QR code on the city mascot, for example, right?
Who is the city mascot? That could be you.
We need a city mascot.
I have a couple suggestions. With regard to community.
Are you done?
Okay. With regard to community, what did we anticipate would be in there? Because I'm thinking it would be a good idea to maybe have UTA schedules and 911 contact information and South Davis Metro. Things like people have on the refrigerator often when they're older. I think that would be helpful. I also oppose the idea of having a social media piece to this app. I think it's rife with problems, will be, and a social media policy is typically controlled by people who contract in a way to say, I won't do X, Y, and Z to be a part of this, whereas we're not going to have that kind of a gatekeeping, I think, with this app.
I have one more piece that I want to add. I would love a section that says something about I want to get involved, and it would include information on our committees in the city and how and when to apply for those, and then also a link to Just Serve with specific, you know, volunteer opportunities within the city.
Love that.
Just making notes here. Well, thank you. This has been super helpful to us as well.
The other thing is, if we're going to do that, the One Kind Act a Day and a Bolder Way Forward, uh-huh. those uh-huh. could be on there as well if we have cities that are linked to those organizations.
Yep. Great. Thank you. We will we'll go to work on this, and I do think I think that Civic Plus, who does our website, is a natural place for us to look. It's on the more expensive side, but I will look into that and see if we could get it a little cheaper. But this is the type of product that we would get from Civic Plus, and I think it would really complement the website and the city's ability to communicate with residents.
I know you're wrapping, but so are we looking at snapshots from one, two, or three different apps
so
here?
These are all from Riverton City, and these were all from Farmington, New Mexico. Yep. So just two apps. All right. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks, Ken. Our next item is Arts Committee Report. Sherry Pace.
Okay, thank you. The Arts Committee asked me to make this presentation tonight. We have one member of our Arts Committee here, soon to be a City Council member. So we're going to need another appointment to the Arts Committee. Councilmember Jackson, because she's your appointment. Okay, so we went over this last night. The Arts Committee met, and we went over this site slideshow, and they gave me their input. These are all things that we've been working on this first year, and they were excited to get this information to you sooner rather than later. So the 2025 Arts Committee goals that they've set, the first one was to launch the mural program, then to address public art, and then programs and events, and submit a budget estimate and request to the City Council so that as you move into your budget year, you can adequately plan for some of the things that they see as priorities and want to recommend. So I'm going to start with the mural program. And I want to just take a second to introduce you to Jean Montanaro, who's right here. This is our wonderful mural artist who painted her father's work on our very first mural, and we're super excited. So I just wanted to give you where we started, or where she started, on this building to where we are today. And this is...
Can we just really quickly give her a hand?
Yes. We have received so much positive feedback. And Jean reported to us that she had many, many residents people stop during this process and tell her how wonderful this was and how much joy it brought to them. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. I'm just really excited about this. Anyway, I'm going to try to hold it together. So this is a really cool mural, and the Arts Committee is just really happy to have this project completed, and it's almost done. So it's substantially completed. We still need to have the Discover Davis logo added, because we did get the grant approval. So and then the last thing to do is to add the anti-graffiti surfactant. The paint has to cure a little bit before they put that on so that it adheres properly. So that will be done in the near future. Again, we did get the Discover Davis logo. We are going to have a mural event, a dedication, and we're going to do that on December 1st in conjunction with our Winter Light Fest, so at 6 p.m.,
And I drew this little map of where we're going to meet. We're going to move the fences back in so that we have some of that grass area to stand on. We'll have lighting. We would like to have the mayor make a few remarks and then have Jean or her mother, Sheila, there to present and say a few things about that. We are working on a plaque to put on the site and then a web page with a story map and some links to the other pages that their family has put together for their dad's work. So we're super excited about that. And then that will be followed by the Winter Lights Fest that'll start at 6:30. So we just thought that would be a really great opportunity where we have a whole bunch of people coming for a wonderful event that we could celebrate this mural because the timing worked out really well. So just to give you a breakdown, you allocated in your budget $10,000. The cost of the mural total with all the materials and everything is about $8,800. We were awarded a $4,250 grant from Discover Davis, so that remains in the budget. There's some remaining $5,450. So we're super excited. One of the other things that I wanted to tell you about that's come about from this awesome new mural that we have is we have been contacted by a gentleman who lives in Park City but had an interaction with Jean at their silly market and where they were selling some prints of her dad's work. And he got really excited about it. They came down and saw the progress and then asked that I get in touch with them. So I reached out to him and he would like to donate $5,000 to next year's mural program. So that's kind of how this snowball is going to start rolling. So we are super excited about that. As part of that, we want to do it right. I think the Arts Committee wants to do it right and make sure that we have the mechanism to receive the donations. And so the right entity is to set up a 501c3. And so I'm looking into that. We'll be bringing that to you for your approval in the near future, in the new year. But before we receive that donation, I just want to make sure that we have everything set up in the right way from the very beginning. So the Arts Committee would like to do two additional murals next year. And they want to focus on the town center. They want to do this other painting of Jean's father's. And we have a building that we have targeted, and I'm going to invite the owners of that building to the dedication of these murals. So I think that would be awesome for them to see how much the community is rallying around it. Again, we're working on the website and the story map, and then we'll continue to make grant applications next year. As far as the public art program, this is what the committee has been working on. So we have been working with the landscape architect for Hatch Park to locate places in the park for public art so that as it is constructed, we make sure we put the conduits in the right place for lighting and that if we need pads that are engineered or have rebar in them so that they support heavier sculptures, that those have been planned for. So these are the recommended sites that they've discussed and that he suggested for us for art locations. In addition to that, they have discussed other locations that they would like to see public art. Obviously, this is not all in one year. These are just identification of sites. And as we find pieces of art, then we will match them with a site that's appropriate. So they've thought about the town center and city hall, the Veterans Memorial Plaza, our city entrance monuments. We had some discussions on that. I've got another slide on that. The Eagle Ridge Roundabout and the Foxborough Drive Roundabout seem like really fun places at entry points to our communities that would be super fun to have some art. Tori Beck, who is our newest member of the Arts Committee, suggested a sculpture for the golf course. She has one in her gallery right now that is of a golfer taking a swing, and she saw that. She's like, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be great if we had something like that up at the golf course? So that's the most recent place we've thought about. So the other things that we have been doing as a committee is advising on the Hatch Parks, to the Hatch Park Steering Committee, on the tower and the pavilion that have the graphics. And so they've given their feedback to the steering committee on what those graphics look like and their opinions of them. And then we've talked as a committee about city beautification, and they're super excited about the tree planting programs and just want to offer their support for that and any assistance that they can give in the future on that. So as part of the public art project, they are identifying certain public art projects that might work. As you know, we've talked about the big chair idea, and this is a graphic representation of what the chair that is being proposed for Hatch Park. Along with that, they had some other ideas, and one idea was to make the big chairs but small chairs. So in the kids' playground area, put a little tea party table and chairs that would be really cute in these styles that kids could sit and play at. And so that was one. They had some ideas for the use of the trees that were removed, as we talked about that. And maybe we could make some sort of city tokens that could be handed out to people that said something about it being from the Hatch Park trees and celebrating the new, something we could hand out when we do the grand opening of the park. They also talked about the artist that is working on that has the trees now, the big ones that he's going to make things out of, that he could make like a bench or a swing that could be put in the pavilion or in the living room area from some of the wood from those trees. And another idea was that we could create a little free library for the park out of the trees. And maybe it could be something themed with the Bamberger Railroad or something along those lines. Of course, then other public art that they've looked at is sculptures, and we've talked about utility box wraps. We have a lot of those not-so-pretty green boxes around the city. I'm sure you've seen them in other cities where they've wrapped them, and they really like that idea that we could take some historic photos of North Salt Lake and have the boxes wrapped, or we could have them wrapped with art. We could have them wrapped with art that the elementary school kids did on the boxes that are near elementary schools so that they could see those. Those wraps last about 3 to 5 years. And so we've been doing research on that. As we looked at how do we get sculptures, we started doing some research on that. We've spoken to Bountiful. We also reached out to St. George. St. George runs this program. It's called Art Around the Corner. So every spring, they host an event where, and you can see this was last year's calendar, they had 38 pieces of art. And during the first week when they open this up, people come and visit all of these different sites to pick art for either purchase or lease. So the art is, all the artists' prices are, they vary from less expensive to very, very expensive. But the lease, you can lease a piece of art for 10% of the cost. So if the cost of the art was, say it's a $30,000 piece, the lease would be $3,000 a year. If at the end of your lease period, whether it's 1, 2, or 3 years, you could decide to purchase that if the city wanted to, and those 3 years worth of lease payments would go towards the total cost. So you would be out nothing. So if we brought a piece of art in and we leased it and it really got a lot of good feedback from the citizens and they loved it, then you would have the option to decide if you wanted to purchase it for permanent placement. I think that Bountiful is seeing some of that in, you might know about the dragon that they have over there that's been very popular, and that's my idea, is if you had one that a lot of people would like it, and they would be, we can't let that go now that we have it because it's so cool. Did I see a question? Okay. So with that, we would need to provide some budget for at least a couple of members of the Arts Committee and staff to go to St. George in the spring to view the art. So they talked about branding and wayfinding. We showed them our branding and wayfinding plan, and they were really excited to think about how they can help improve the image of North Salt Lake from the entry monuments to when we get bus rapid transit. When that finally goes in, we will be consulted by UTA on the artwork and the stylings that go into the stops. They have a program for cities to choose artists to display art at those bus stops. So we are really excited to see that happen. As far as program and events go, here are some of the programs and events that the committee is either in charge of or that they would like to propose. So right now, NSL REITs is under the Arts Committee. In 2026, the fantasy theme was already chosen before we heard about the America 250. So we had some discussion about how could we incorporate America 250 into NSL REITs. And with a little bit of research, our subcommittee from NSL REITs found out that the state has a list of books relating to constitutional and our history, and that are for all ages. So in the list, there's for little kids, junior high school kids, elementary school, and adults. And so they thought it would be fun to do a reading challenge and unveil that at the NSL Reads event. And they wanted to give out, like, we're not really sure yet, but some sort of a passport or something, where if you read the books, then you would get a stamp, and then come to Liberty Fest and you can turn in your completed passport and you would get like a bookmark, America 250 bookmark, and be entered to win a prize, a raffle for a prize, and get some donations for those prizes. And so that's an idea that they're working on, and they'll coordinate that with the events committee also. Other events committee that they will be coordinating on next year will be the photo contest. That's traditionally was a PTAR event, and right now it stayed in the purview under the events committee, but because it's photographic arts, there's some crossover there, and so we want to collaborate with them on that next year's contest and help them out in any way we can. And then also tie that into the America 250 events, if possible. They have some ideas that they would like to be able to have some art exhibits and host maybe local artists here at City Hall. We could put up displays in the lobby or in the council room, or have some student displays. So they really would like to look into the possibility of doing that. They had some really good ideas about performance art, particularly community concerts, and they ask a question that I am now going to ask the council. They would like to inquire about the availability of the Eaglewood Event Center. Right now, if anybody wanted to rent it to have, let's say, a recital, it's cost prohibitive. But if there is a night once a month that is, you know, not used, if we could, as a city, sponsor or at least make the facility available at a much lower cost, a discounted rate, and, you know, at the bare minimum, whatever it costs us to have the staff to clean up and set up the chairs, or that they would like to have that as a community benefit. So maybe it's like the first Monday of the month or something. I don't know which day, but something along those lines. And so if that's something that the council would support, we would love your help on that. And then they have been talking to people who are interested in doing like plays at the Veterans Amphitheater out here. And so they're pursuing those ideas. And then they thought it would be really fun if we started having concerts in the park. And if we had our own stage that could be portable, you could have concerts at various parks. So it wouldn't just be on the east side, it wouldn't just be on the west side or just in Midtown. You could move that stage around, and during the summer month you'd have one here and another one here the next month and another one. So that's an idea that they have. And a most recent idea they brought up is that it would be really fun to have a storytelling festival. So the big question for you is the budget. And what next year you would like to prioritize. And so we're not asking for everything that's on this list. I want to just make that very clear. But we want to give you an idea of what the cost of these things would be. And then as you go into budget, you can establish what the priorities are for each year. But these are the ideas that we have. So They would like to do 2 murals a year and would be requesting $10,000 again. Now that we know how much, you know, what the grants and how to go about that business, we believe we can get that matched and also get additional donations towards that cost. But $10,000 from the city's budget. They would like to see a budget of $20,000 a year for sculptures for either purchase or lease. The utility boxes to wrap them is about $750, and they'd like to try and do about 4 a year. I don't think we have those. That wouldn't be ongoing for many years because we would run out of utility boxes. But that's kind of where they would like to start. The cost of that big chair is about $15,000. So thinking if you did big chairs in the different parks, it would be around that cost. One of the ideas that was put out was we would have the big chair idea that we have here for this park, and this would not be for next year because this wouldn't be done. The park won't be done, so this is not in this budget year. It would be in the following one. But that we could put calls out for artists to do other big chairs because they would be different for the context of the park they were in. If you were up at Tunnel Springs, it might be a big chair with a kid sitting on it with a flying a kite. If it were out in Legacy, it would look totally different, and it would fit the context of the park, and we would do a call for artists on that. They want to request an annual maintenance of $2,500 budget. That would be budget that would be for the Public Works Department for any maintenance that needed to be done on public art, if it needed to be cleaned or whatever the maintenance costs would be for it. And then $2,500 for travel, which is why I kind of pointed out how much we had left in the mural budget. So if you wanted to allocate that for this spring for the mural or for the Arts Committee to go to the art around the art event in St. George, that there's still money available that we saved from not spending all of the mural money. And then NSL Reads, right now they're budgeted for $1,000. Their events are running a little bit more because they like to get the author. They pay the author to come do the event here where they speak with the kids, but they also then go and visit 3 schools and then have some other entertainment, like a magician, the night of the event. And so they're asking for that budget to be $2,000. And I'm not really sure about what there's a question mark there on the photo contest because I don't know what the budget was or how that's provided for the events committee. But they want to just make sure that that line item is in there. Some of the other one-time expenditures that they would like to recommend that you consider would be that we would need equipment for art exhibits. So we would need display equipment if we were going to host art shows. And that would be a one-time expense. And we would reuse that same equipment to hang the art on the walls. The small table and chairs would be about $4,000. Again, that would be a one-time expense. And the free library, the construction cost would be about $5 on that. And those are just estimates. So best ballpark that we go. We have an estimate. They want to encourage you to do city beautification projects. The city monuments, we're estimating that those will be about $15,000 each. That's, again, just an estimate. I have Allie and our intern working on getting some estimates from sign companies on those particular features. And then they want to encourage you to continue the tree planting program that you have. So I just put that number in there, the $10,000 that you've been putting in. And then at some point they would like it to see a portable stage for those concert events. And I don't have an estimate on what that would be, but this is the things that they would like to recommend to you and have you consider. Again, not all of them need to be in the very first year, but they wanted to put those out there so that you could tell them what you think the priorities should be that they focus on. Also, into that same effort, if there was a certain dollar amount that the city council was willing to put towards the arts and we set up the 501c3, that money helps us get donations from philanthropy, philanthropists, and people who want to donate to that. And so that's really what the goal is, to say that we're a partner in that and then to go seek donations to make up the difference of these items that they would like to see in public art. So, questions? And Heidi can address anything that I missed.
You got it
all. Okay. Suddenly I turned around and the room was full. They really are focused on fundraising. They really want to work on that piece. They feel like there are a lot of people who are very generous in our community and outside our community that would be very supportive. I mean, just that the one contact that's already been made that wanted to donate $5,000 to next year's mural programs, that was like, I was just floored. And he spent about an hour and 20 minutes on the phone with me. They have recently moved here. And they're big supporters of the arts. They live in Park City. And he was just super excited about this mural program and actually about David Montanaro's art. He thought it was awesome. And he explained to me some of the things that he's been involved with different fundraisers and philanthropical organizations, and gave us some pointers on what we need to do to set them up. And he said he would be a resource for us to contact anytime and help us however he can. And so there are a lot of generous people out there, and the committee really wants to be able to leverage the money that the city council is willing to put into the public arts and get more donations.
David or Ken, we spend a lot of money renting a stage for Liberty Fest. I don't know how much, but we could put that towards a purchase of a stage, certainly, and then use it for Liberty Fest as well as other events. The other one, seems like we donate every year to the Bountiful Arts thing. Maybe we should donate to our own arts committee instead of Bountiful's. Oh, yeah, sorry, Heidi. All right. I just retracted that. Okay.
Remember, the Bountiful Davis Arts Center is not just Bountiful. It's South Davis.
It's Bountiful.
It's a South Davis community organization.
Mayor? Go ahead. Sorry, Lisa. The Arts Committee is on fire. This is fabulous. I'm so excited about all the new ideas and the creative coming together. It's so wonderful to see. One thing I know that they do in Logan, and Logan's a college town, so Logan has a poet laureate that they announce every year, and the poet will begin the beginning season in January, read a poem, and I've kind of, the literary arts sometimes get neglected, and which is an area. So that might be something that you could recommend down the road. I mean, you've got NSL Reads, but that's something that might be interesting as well. And then our city, if we're going to do with the railroad theme, as we are, maybe we could have, this is kind of foolish maybe, but we could have a city's conductor. People can sign up for that. And anyway, it would be kind of interesting that we could maybe generate that theme with regard to the Bamberger. We haven't much. We could have somebody walk around on fire with petroleum coming out of their clothing, but we don't want that. But a conductor might be something interesting.
Yeah, a trolley conductor would be awesome.
Yeah. Thanks so much for all this creative energy.
Thank you for the opportunity to work with the Arts Committee. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I look forward to another great year next year.
Sherry, you've done such a good job, and Heidi and Jean also. I'm not going to put you on the spot, Jean, but I'm just saying there's going to be an opening in the Arts Committee, and I already feel like you're on the Arts Committee, and so just saying, it's out there. Thank you so much. Lisa's right. The Arts Committee is on fire, and it's been so fun to be a part of that, and I did get from the Bountiful Mayor-elect a compliment on Heidi last night. She said that Heidi has done a really good job on the fundraising side for BDAC, and so we're happy to include her on the North Salt Lake art side as well. I love the idea of opening up for the possibility of recitals. I think anyone who's been a piano teacher or been a piano student, along with guitar and violin, it can be really hard to find a spot for recitals. And that, I feel, is a contribution that the city can make to the community that enhances the community as we build and develop artists within our community. So I really like that idea of trying to find recital times. There's a lot of other, we could go on and on. You already know how I feel about all of it because I'm in the meetings and part of it. But I just want to thank you because you guys have done such a great job. Of course, I love the 501c idea. We want to do it right and we want to be able to do it so that it's tax deductible for donors, et cetera. So thank you so much, all three of you.
And all of the Arts Committee, they are all just fabulous, and they all have different talents and interests, and that they share their knowledge with us on how to do some of these things. It's an amazing group of people. I'm thrilled to work with them. And
I want to echo that as well. It's so exciting to see this whole program come together and all of the forward energy and action. And I would say, for our purposes, I think this is what you can see when we start really fine-tuning what the assignments are that we're giving committees. The PTAR committee had arts within their purview for over a decade, but because they also were carrying responsibilities for so many other pieces, it never was able to get the energy and attention that this now has allowed it to do. And look what has happened. How fantastic. I'm so excited about it. I don't know if you want feedback specifically about those budget recommendations now, or if that's probably something we will follow up on later, but I would like to say one thing with regards to recitals. I love the idea of creating a space for recitals within the city. However, I don't think the golf course is the right place for that because it is a loss of revenue for the city, but I think we should open up City Hall for that. And then we are also able to do that way more than just one night a month. We could potentially do it 10 nights a month if we want.
The benefit that the Eaglewood Golf Course Center has is that it has a baby grand piano, mm-hmm. and we don't have that here for the use if piano is involved in it. So that was why that was specifically thought that, gee, if there was one night a month that historically didn't get rented, and maybe that's a specific Monday or something, because we wouldn't want to take up the space on a weekend or on a day where we would be having tournaments. But if there is some time that Tyler could find that is not used and is not utilized, and we wouldn't be
like
taking
daytimes?
Away revenue.
Could we say we only offer daytimes for recitals? Because I think if we only do one time a month, we're talking about potentially 12 people a year. And
well,
that,
12 recitals that could have, you know, they could have
well,
10
but
or,
yeah, 12 events per year, yeah. Which to me starts to feel more elitist than community focused, as like 12 people get this. And that feels like, well, you better be one of those lucky 12 or you don't get the option. So that's just a piece to consider.
The daytime would conflict more with golf tournaments, especially in the...
During the week, too.
Yeah. Where the evening, you know, Tuesday evening, Wednesday evening, yeah. Not so much.
I would actually say if it's not being rented, I would like it open more than once a month so that it doesn't become only 12 people a year get to do this.
We would love to open that up.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. Let's take a quick break and reconvene. Quickly.